This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. It's great to have you with us today. This time tomorrow, everyone will be talking about whether voters in Alabama decided to send Roy Moore to the United States Senate. And this time on Thursday, it'll likely be the beginning of the end of the internet as we know it. At least that's the fear of activists who oppose what the Federal Communications Commission appears likely to do with net neutrality. The FCC is scheduled to vote on Thursday on the set of rules from 2015 that classified the internet as a public utility. And as such, internet service providers, or ISPs, were banned from blocking or slowing down some data on the internet in favor of other data. That's basically what net neutrality is, and its future is coming down to the five commissioners from the FCC. Chairman Ajit Pai is leading the charge to end net neutrality, and everyone expects a 3-2 vote to do it. One of the two votes expected to be on the losing side on Thursday in favor of net neutrality will be from Jessica Rosenworcel. She was nominated to be an FCC commissioner first by President Obama in 2011 and then again by President Trump earlier this year. Jessica Rosenworcel, thanks for being with us here on The Takeaway.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we reached out to your other colleagues on the commission who want to end net neutrality. We're hoping they'll come on later this week. But in your view, what's at stake on Thursday?
Well, the United States internet economy is the envy of the world, and it's built on a foundation of openness. That's what net neutrality is all about. Those rules have been important for our economy, for our civic and commercial life, and for reasons that are beyond me, some of my colleagues want to take those rules away. I think it will have big consequences for the future of the internet.
Well, what do you expect will happen on Thursday? A 3-2 vote, it looks like now, but then after the gavel comes down, what?
Well, if you take away net neutrality rules, what you do is give broadband providers the power to block websites, to throttle services, and to censor and even manipulate online content. They could carve the internet into fast lanes for websites and services that have paid them off, and then consign the rest of us to slower and bumpy roads.
So what do you think the internet will look like after this decision? Are you talking about a world where you'd have to pay $18 more to get the Hulu and Netflix that you want and pay a little bit more elsewhere to get the Amazon that you want?
Well, what's clear is that broadband providers would have the power to carve internet service up into packages like that. It would wind up looking a little bit more like cable TV than the open internet we know today. And we've seen that happen in other countries that do not have a strong net neutrality tradition.
Now, what about the idea of censorship? And people have batted this idea around a lot. Some people have worried out loud that an internet service provider who wanted to, de-emphasize religious messages could make it harder on their service to read about Islam or to read the Quran. Other people have said, yeah, they could do that, but they would get so much pushback that it would never be viable in the real world. What do you think?
Well, I do think they would get pushback, but the way that the FCC is proceeding right now is they will give them the legal authority to do that, to censor content, to slow down the rate at which you access certain services. So they would have the power. In other words, the FCC would give them the green light to behave in that way.
Well, you've been highly critical of the process here leading up to this vote. You've called the process of public comment and the FCC vote deeply corrupted, which I have to say sounds like a pretty serious charge. What do you mean by deeply corrupted?
Well, here's the thing. Right now, we've received more than 23 million comments from the public in this proceeding. And I can tell you as an FCC commissioner, no other work we do comes close. The public has reached out to us in droves. But because of that volume, I think it's important that the agency study that record. And I spent some time doing this, as did the New York Attorney General. And we found some funny things. We found that roughly 1 million stolen identities are in our comment database. In other words, people's names and addresses were taken and comments were filed for and against net neutrality without their knowledge. That's identity theft. And we've also found that there are roughly 500,000 comments filed from Russian addresses. That's strange and deserves investigation. And then for reasons I cannot explain, 50,000 consumer complaints that have been filed with the FCC are not a part of our record. And when you look at those things, I think you only have one conclusion. This record is a mess. And on the basis of this public record, we're making a vote and making a decision. And I think the responsible thing for the FCC to do is to figure out what's going on and get to the bottom of this before we vote.
Well, even if the record's a mess, and it sounds like it may be, and you were referring to New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman there, do you have a feeling that it would change the votes of your fellow commissioners? It's been looking for a long time like we were headed for 3-2 here, no matter what the public record is.
You know, that may be true, but I think in some ways this is bigger than just this proceeding. For more than 70 years, we've had this law called the Administrative Procedures Act, and it's the way that the public files comments on what's happening in Washington regulatory agencies. It's become apparent that that digital age comment system has problems. And in order to ensure that everyone can participate as citizens, I think we're going to have to figure out a better and more secure way. And this proceeding, to me, represents just the start of that.
Jessica Rosenworcel, let's talk a little bit more about the future of the internet if net neutrality goes away. Let's say 5 years from now, you described a scenario where internet service providers could charge more for the services that people want, make you pick and choose and carve up the internet. Won't there also be competition to give people unfettered service? Hey, our service over here at Zwillick Internet is unfettered. You get all your traffic for one price, one low price of X. And I would guess that a lot of customers would flock to that.
Yeah, you're right. Competition is the solution. But FCC data show that there is not a lot of broadband competition out there. In fact, right now, FCC data show about half of the households in this country only have one choice for broadband provider. So if you're a consumer and you're at home and you learn that your broadband provider is throttling traffic and treating your internet service in discriminatory fashion, you know, in a competitive market, you'd pick up your business and go sign on with someone else. But for about half of the households in this country, they don't have that option. And if they don't have that recourse, it demonstrates just why net neutrality policies are so important.
Are you expecting court battles after Thursday? Do you think this heads into the courts right away?
I do think that this is going to take a quick trip to the courts. I also think what is stunning is that the rules that the agency voted on in 2015, those net neutrality policies, were the first policies ever held up by the courts. In a 2016 decision, they were held up front to back. So they have passed court muster. They're wildly popular. And it makes it kind of silly right now that we're deciding to go another course.
Well, silly or not, it does appear like that different course is in the offing here, Commissioner. And then it makes me want to ask you how final you think this decision is. Look, there's a lot of demand for net neutrality. You've heard it in the comments. You've heard it in the news reports. And it seems likely, you know, that the next time there's an FCC dominated by Democratic choices, this decision could just be reversed. Are we headed into a seesaw situation for the next 10 or 12 years where Republicans undo net neutrality, Democrats redo net neutrality, and the industry doesn't know where it's headed?
I hope not, because I think there is nothing actually partisan about net neutrality. If you are a conservative or a progressive, you benefit from an open internet, going online and finding your community. It doesn't matter if you're from a red state or a blue state. Internet openness matters to you. So I hope that we do not treat this as some kind of partisan pinball. And in fact, I'd note to you that the very first net neutrality rules that the FCC put on paper were in a policy statement when President George W. Bush was in the White House. In other words, they do not have a partisan history, and I'm hopeful that in the future that will be true as well.
Well, if they don't have a partisan history going back the last decade or so, they certainly have a partisan present. Jessica Rosenworcel, commissioner on the FCC, will be voting on net neutrality on Thursday. Commissioner, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.